What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletheromax and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. Ladies and germs, June 9th, 2017. Welcome to another, I don't know if we'll call it an episode, I guess. Welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I'm your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, riding solo right now. I did mention yesterday on the Facebook page that we weren't going to have a show, and you're right, we're not going to have a live show because we had a death in the family. Well, it's, just keep Choppy and his wife in your prayers. They had a death in the family, so I'll let Choppy talk about that next week if he wants to, but you know, you want to just, you know, privately give him your best wishes, that'd be cool. I don't think they want to put it all over social media, but... Yeah, just give them your, if you want to pay your respects and you say you're sorry, that's cool, we appreciate it. So, out of respect to what's going on, we're not going to be in studio for a live show. I'm just going to come on here and talk about some stuff for a few minutes, then I'm going to give you a classic. I picked out a classic, which is pretty cool. I'm excited about it, and I went back into the archives and brought up a really cool throwback that we did way, way back in the day. And I hope you enjoy it. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Just a couple of things. couple of things I want to go over. We will have a huge announcement next week regarding the 5-year anniversary of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, which is going down next month, the middle of next month. I hope you guys can join us. It's going to be great. I want to make the announcement when Choppy's here in studio. We're really excited about this thing that we're doing. We're going to have some special guests. Hopefully we'll have some celebrity calls. We're working on some things. But yeah, I didn't think I'd be going this far with it, but 5 years, man. I was just talking to Choppy before. I was like, you know, if you didn't join the show, I probably would have been done after the anniversary show because I was getting kind of burnt out. But I'm still here, still doing our thing, and I'm glad everybody supports us. And, you know, of course, we thank you for all that. You guys are really cool. You guys are wonderful. If it wasn't for the fans and our peers, I don't think I'd still be doing this. Honest to God. So I'm glad you guys are around, and we appreciate it. So couple things. I did Extreme Rules, the pre-show and post-show for the rant. And it was okay. It wasn't over the top, you know, fantastic. The title matches were okay. I thought the main event was good. I didn't expect Joe to win. But it sets up a decent, you know, it makes sense that they make Brock the face now because they need another villain, and Joe fits the bill, and it gives Finn Balor some more, you know, of a incentive to get his shit together and do his thing. So I thought Finn was gonna win, but they gave it to Joe, and so now Joe's gonna fight the Beast Incarnate at Great Balls of Fire in several weeks. I know in 2 weeks is Money in the Bank. They're having a women's, first time ever, women's Money in the Bank match. We'll talk more about that next week when Choppy's back in studio. And, you know, Raw is unwatchable right now, okay? Thank God for Hulu, because I can't watch 3 hours of Raw. I really can't. It's just depressing. it really is straight up depressing. But I watched the condensed version of it, and thank God there's other stuff going on. What else is going on? Oh, I did catch Chikara's having their King of Trios coming up soon, which is the 6-man tournament they have, which is great, by the way. If you're a Chikara fan, check it out. And one of the teams is going to be a throwback team. It's Mr. Touchdown, Dasher Hatfield, and Simon Grimm, better known as Simon Gotch, the old from the Vaudevillains. So that's pretty cool. I was excited to read that today. Choppy showed me some new figures that are coming out. The same company that makes the Ring of Honor figures, they're making a Kenny Omega figure, which is great. They got the Bucks. They got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. The championship belts. If you're a kid or just a collector, it's brilliant. Well done. The dolls are really articulate. They look great. Let's just say my son's gonna have a good birthday this year. His birthday's coming up next week. So, it's going to be good times. Like I said, nothing really going on in wrestling. I was waiting for Choppy to come back in studio. The only thing I'm excited about right now is the at Osaka Joe Hall, Dominion 6 for New Japan Pro Wrestling going down Saturday night into Sunday morning, our time, like 3 in the morning, Sunday morning. And I'm excited for this, as you heard Kenny Omega's theme as I opened up the show tonight. I'll just run down the card real quick. David Finlay, Umino, and Tomoyuki Oka versus Kawato, Kitamura, and Yagi. That's a 6-man. An 8-man tag match. Hiroshi Tenzan, Jushin Thunder Liger, Manabu Nakanishi, and Santoshi Kojima versus Tiger Mask, Tiger Mask W, Makabe, and Yuji Nagata. Yuji Nagata's a name from WCW, if you guys remember him. The gauntlet match for the never open weight 6-man tag team championship. You have Los Ingobernables de Japón, which is Bushi, Evil, and Sonata, the champions, defending against the Bullet Club, which is Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro Takahashi, versus Chaos, which is Ishii, Yano, and Hashi, versus Suzuki Gun, which is Kanemura, Taichi, and Zack Sabre Jr. And of course, and then the other team is Taguchi Japan, which is Juice Robinson, Ricochet, and Ryushi Taguchi. So there you go with that. And if I fucked any of the names up, I don't care. Your next match is for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. Roppongi Vice, which they're making figures of those guys too. Beretta and Romero, the champions, defending against the Young Bucks. That's going to be great. The IWGP Tag Team Championship is being defended. The champions are War Machine, Hanson and Rowe from Ring of Honor. And they're taking on the Gorillas of Destiny, also in the Bullet Club. That's Tama Tonga and Tenga Roa, which is Haku's kids. The next match I'm kind of interested in seeing. I want to see how Cody hypes this one and see what he does against big man Michael Elgin in a singles match. It should be fun. I'm really excited for this match. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. The Best of the Juniors, Super Juniors winner Kushida, who beat... who did he beat in the finals? He beat the Aerial Assassin, not Zack Sabre, the other guy. I forgot his name already. I can't believe it. The other English kid. I'm so sorry. That's a mistake. I'm sorry. I forgot his name already. But he's fighting. He won it from that guy, and he's fighting against. Hiromu Takahashi for the. He's the champion for the Junior Heavyweight Championship, which is pretty cool. I'm excited about that. A lumberjack death match. This is interesting. For the never open weight championship. Minoru Suzuki, which is the champion, taking on Hirooki Goto. That's going to be a big fucking two slabs of beef match. These guys are going to just kill each other. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. Oh, Will Ospreay. Thank you, Phil, that you didn't have to look that up, thank God. Will Ospreay. He lost to Kushida in the Best of the Super Juniors 24. Okay. And your main events, your co-main event for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, Hiroshi Tanahashi, New Japan's John Cena, taking on the champion Tetsuya Naito, and he's also in Los Ingobernables de Japón. And then the match that we've all been waiting for, the rematch from Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year, is the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against the Cleaner, Kenny Omega. How excited am I for this match? I am super, super, super excited. And I'm telling you right now, Kenny Omega has to win this match. And I was talking about this with Choppy a little while ago. If he doesn't win this match, I don't know how to... Because, you know, Omega Powers mentioned last week that their booking is a little off. Which is fine. You know, whatever. It is what it is. But Kenny Omega, being the top heel in the company now, I think, you know, the leader of the Bullet Club, the whole nine yards, he's got so much momentum going for him right now. It'd be great for him to win the title and be the seventh Gaijin to win the title in history. So that's what we got going on right now, kids. That's what's going on. If you have New Japan World, they're going to have it on English commentary, which I believe is Kevin Kelly and Josh Barnett. I'm not sure. Or you can just do what I do, wait till you wake up and watch it again and replay. I told my cousin Anthony I'm probably going to wait. He's going to stay up all night. I'm going to wake up probably for the main event. I can't get up at 3 o'clock. I can't stay up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. I'm old. It's been a while. I did it once at a birthday party a couple months ago, and I was a mess. So, yeah. So, definitely check that out, and we'll talk about it more next week because we'll have the results, and we'll preview Money in the Bank, which is coming up next week. I think it is 2 weeks, I believe. Yeah, 2 weeks. So, yeah, I think it's Father's Day that the Money in the Bank is, so... Yeah, I think I'll be watching that. It's Father's Day. They don't bother me on Father's Day. You know, Michael's normally with his dad, but she leaves me alone on Father's Day. So I guess I could watch that Money in the Bank. I'm intrigued. I'm always intrigued about Money in the Bank because, you know, it's just to have that contract and cash in whenever you want is pretty brilliant. So that's pretty much it. Here's what's gonna happen right now. We're gonna take a quick break, and then how we're gonna work this is we're gonna play the throwback from episode 50. We had Shining Wizards Eddie in the studio, and we did this awful pay-per-view called Heroes of Wrestling. We get a run-in from Shining Wizards Tony, and it's myself, the Mega Powers, and Shining Wizards Eddie, Edward Jackson, in studio. So enjoy that, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Like I said, I apologize. We had a little emergency in the family. Shit happens. Family first, as always. You guys know that, and you guys, some of you guys even said it on social media, so I appreciate it. And, you know, don't make a big thing about it on social media about Choppy. But, you know, if you want to reach out to him privately, if you have him on Facebook or whatever media outlet you have with him, just, you know, send him a message and say you're thinking about him and his wife and their family, okay? All right, let's take a quick break, play some plugs, and then we're going to have an awesome kick-ass throwback for you guys. So we'll see you guys soon, all right? So see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Peace.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Face on Friday nights, and we recorded a whole week of Springers, and we would watch a whole week of Springers and eat and drink and get rowdy, and if ECW had a pay-per-view, I would record it and bring it. So we'd watch ECW, Springer, and just, you know, read dirt sheets and talk shit. So I read this, and I'm like, this really fucking happened? He was like, yeah, so Eddie takes us back to October 10th, 1999.
I do. I'm sorry.
No, this is fine.
I had to do it.
No, this needs to be done anyway.
It needs to be done. Yeah.
From the Casino Magic in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Mississippi,
if you will.
Because that's where you want to go and gamble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you south of the Dixie line, that's where you want to go.
The Mason Dixon, baby.
That's very south.
The plan originally. Well, first of all, it was 2,300 people.
Wait, there was a plan?
They said it was like 6,000, but there was really only like 2,300.
Yeah. So this is like a WCW pay-per-view turnout.
Right.
Yeah.
The plan was to have a series of these things.
That was
called Heroes of Wrestling. There was a guy that's featured superstars from the 80s and early 90s by a guy named Bill Stone. He was the president of Fosstone Productions, which is a huge TV production company back then.
Well, Bill was definitely stoned when he came up with this. He was
definitely fucking stoned.
Oh,
and
he was.
Well, half. So was half his locker room. Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. In order for them to break even, they needed 40,000 pay-per-view buys.
And what did they get?
They only got 29,000.
Oh, so close.
29,000 they got.
If only.
Surprising, though. 29,000.
Well, yeah, because it's wrestling.
And
it's
this was during the big boom, so anyone was
checking it out.
Yeah, like I was telling you in the car ride over here, you know, there was like the random WCW pay-per-views, like Collision in Korea. There was the AAA When Worlds Collide and Heroes of Wrestling. And I'm sure a future episode, the fucking Dennis Rodman Down Under pay-per-view.
You know what's crazy, though? You say 29,000. Like, the TNA pay-per-view buys barely break 2,900. Like, literally.
So this does better than TNA pay-per-views.
Yeah, it did.
Wow.
Oh, for 1999, yeah.
Yeah.
On a consistent level, this does better than TNA pay-per-views.
voted the worst pay-per-view by several publications, including Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer. One of the matches had a zero rating, which is Brian Alvarez with the Figure Four Weekly.
He gave it like an infinite negative zero or something.
Can I quote?
Yes.
I took the piece from the article. He gave it a minus more stars than there are stars in the universe, and the universe is infinite.
Good God.
Oh, my God.
All right, so who's got notes?
Oh, I think we all got notes.
So let's start off with our special guest host of the evening.
Oh, my God. I remember the first thing that struck my attention were the promo videos in the beginning were just awful.
Because they were all wrestlers in their high school gym matches.
Yeah.
They weren't like...
It wasn't any real footage. It was like King Kong Bunny in a high school gym walking around.
The former Yokozuna.
The former Yokozuna in a high school gym. And then the skits with who was it that got locked into the trunk? It was Tully Blanchard thrown into a trunk. You have Bob Orton cheating at gambling. I mean, then you have George Steele and Sherry Martel paired up in some kind of a love interest gimmick.
And he took off her clothes. And
he did. He actually ripped her dress off, and all you saw was, like, leggings.
No, it was like the granny, like...
The granny panty legging thing. Yeah.
I want to talk about Randy Rosenbloom for a second.
Oh, God.
The best.
He was a sports announcer.
He was...
For what sport? Was it wrestling?
No, several sports. He did the Olympics, and he was a big deal.
Yeah, he was a big deal, but it was supposed to be Gordon Solie.
Gordon Solie got sick.
Oh, he got sick.
Yep. He got sick. He was having health issues. So Rosenbloom was clueless, and I wrote in my notes.
Oh, so
calling
clueless.
Spots. At one point, he called a flying drop kick a flying leg kick.
Yeah, a few times.
Then he called it a leg drop, too.
Yeah. The leg drop hits hard.
And then Dutch Mantel had to, try to explain for him. And say, listen, he's green. He doesn't understand. And then
Dutch Mantel goes and says that Jake Roberts is a former Intercontinental Champion.
Right. You know, honestly, Dutch Mantel, to his credit, was good on color. He could have actually, he wasn't bad.
He was trying his best to shine some shit.
Yeah, he should have had a broadcasting job a long time ago, I thought.
Yeah.
And he was decent, but couldn't save this abortion of a pay-per-view at all.
But
at all.
15 years later, now look at him.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Backstage promoter was, was Michael St. John, interviewing King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
Bundy and Yokozuna intervenes. And they have to get broken up.
The 1,000-pound war.
Yeah, the war that never happened.
Well, kind of happened, but they didn't really touch each other during the match. But we'll get to that.
Yes.
Right. All right, so this gets broken up. Your first match was the Samoan SWAT team.
The former Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah.
I think they showed a picture of the head shrinkers.
I think so.
Actually, no. When they came down the aisle, they show a picture of Marty Jannetty and Fantastic Tommy Rogers. They don't show...
They didn't show the SST. And the thing that struck me as funny is this is the only match where there was entrance music and both teams came out to the same song.
The same music, yeah.
And then for the rest of the show, no entrance music.
I think one other team had entrance music.
Yeah, well, they came out with Sika and Paul Adams. I don't know who the fuck Paul Adams was. Apparently he was in the UWF or something like that. I tried looking him up and I couldn't get a lot of stuff on him. Versus Marty Jannetty,
And Tommy Rogers.
Rocker Marty Jannetty.
Rocker.
And yeah. Fantastic Tommy Rogers.
Right. The Samoans looked terrible, by the way.
Oh, they looked awful. And Jannetty had his jean shorts on.
I wrote that. Look, Jannetty, who was wearing jean shorts, FYI.
His jorts.
And he was like in that stage where his hair wasn't short or long. It was just like that awkward middle stage where it wasn't quite a mullet.
He was growing a mullet out. Yeah. It was the 90s, man. It was the end of the 90s. Getting ready for the new millennium.
He was fucking stoned.
He had the buff man, like the old man, like ripped physique.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Then. And he was probably not even 40 yet.
Tommy Rogers looked like he was in decent shape. Again, and I mentioned this to you guys before, and I mentioned wrote in my notes. When he was in W, I enjoyed Rogers when he was in ECW for a cup of coffee. That's what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah,
but I'll say this.
A lot of flying leg kicks.
Oh.
I thought this was interesting. They were like hyping this up like early on. Like, you know, this is the night where all these legendary feuds are going to
culminate.
They're going to be settled tonight.
Finally.
And the first match is a tag team match of guys that were in tag teams but not together.
Yeah.
This was, so bad, man.
It was really bad.
This was so bad. This was a 10-minute match.
It was a 10-minute match.
God.
I remember they had that... The advertisement for the casino was kind of like a cutout.
It was like
on the apron of the ring.
Like a poster board,
and they kept hitting it.
It looked more like, like the bumper at the bowling alley.
Yes.
You know, bumper.
And there's one part where Mario Jannetty kind of knocks it over mid-match and then just gets up and, like, fixes it.
Of course.
That's funny.
I'm sure that was in his contract, too, or something. Like, they would get fined if that bumper, like, ends up on the floor or something.
We need that bumper. Flying leg kick.
Well, we got the PBA coming in next Tuesday, Dutch.
Okay.
Awful. So the SST take the win with the, what was that, the TKO?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, so now we see Sherry Martel shown with George Animal Steel checking into the casino.
Oh, God.
And Dutch Mantel says they make a nice couple.
Yeah.
Sherry cuts a terrible promo about how she thinks George Steel is
just rambling.
Is hot stuff.
Yeah, like just rambling. He's such a good man. And
he's insane.
Yeah, well. And George looks the same. George looks the same like he did back in 86.
Yeah.
60.
And the same he looked in 76.
Yeah. And probably 76 too. When he
fought, 66.
In 66 when he fought Bruno Sammartino. So the second match, obviously, leading into that was Greg Valentine versus George Steele. Greg Valentine cuts a promo, right? And I don't understand. Well, Greg Valentine just...
Actually, this was a...
He was never a promo guy.
He looks like an old lesbian, first of all.
I wrote something like that. I wrote, he looks like someone's alcoholic aunt.
He looks like a cast member of Roseanne.
Yeah. He looks like...
He looks like Crystal's long-lost husband.
Yeah.
Probably is Crystal's long-lost husband.
Wasn't he, like, cemented in a bridge?
Yeah.
He just came out.
He morphed into, like, a fatter, like, blobbish Medusa Miss Elliott.
And mind you, one of the best workers in the business, anything from 83 to 87 you saw with Greg the Hammer Valentine between NWA Mid-Atlantic to WWE.
Before then, he was great, too.
I'm talking from the stuff with Piper in 83 in the NWA for the U.S. title.
He
actually fought. He had a few with Ric Flair, teamed with Ric Flair. I think they were tag team champions.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he goes to the big boom in World Wrestling Federation. And the IC stuff with Santana, and I mean, was just phenomenal. And then, of course, the Dream Team stuff with Beefcake. Even though Beefcake was a terrible fucking worker,
but he carried him.
He carried that team immensely.
Awesome feud with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it was a fantastic feud with the Bulldogs. Dave and I watched that this summer.
Fantastic.
Dave brought the tape over. We converted it. But
can I mention Valentine's promo?
Oh, yeah, man.
Because I think this is like the best promo Greg Valentine ever did, in my opinion. Besides saying he was going to slam JYD on the mat and leave a big black spot in the mat. But he says that George the Animal Steel is going to lay down and die in the ring. And that Sherry is going to leave with him. So I thought that was great that he wanted to actually murder George Steele.
To kill the man.
Which, you know, I don't know. With this event, didn't seem too far off if somebody did die. And apparently one guy died after this event.
After the event, not too shortly.
Yeah.
And I remember following the promo, what's his face? Rosenbloom. Is that his name? Rosenbloom, right?
Yeah. Rosenbloom, yeah.
Rosenbloom says, Valentine's no sweetheart. I just had to fucking laugh. Like,
Rosenbloom
was
the all-star for this night.
He was the all-star.
Actually, there was one other thing that Dutch Mantel said that I thought was amazing, and just like, you know, he, God bless the guy for trying to put this event over, but he was like burying it at the same time. He says, "All the stars you haven't seen in recent years are all assembled here tonight." Well, where have they been?
Yeah.
At the high school fucking gym.
At the high school gym. At the high school gym.
But so, anyway.
We have this match, and George Steele can't even get his shirt off until Valentine attacks him. And then Sherry attacks George Steele.
Immediately.
Immediately. And he can't tell that it's her because his shirt's still over his face, and he's a big dumb idiot.
It, with the exception of her screaming while
yeah.
she's choking.
Nice.
She was cracked out of her head.
Surprise.
Oh, and Rosenbloom had a great call during this. Like we already heard the flying leg kick in the previous match.
Yes.
But he actually managed to call the leg kick, which was just a kick. And I'm like, really? Like when somebody punches you in the face, do they call it the arm punch?
Yeah.
No.
He called a punch a head tap. He said, and he taps him in the head, another tap to the head. I was like, oh wow.
During the less stars than there are in the sky, which is infinity. He yeah. actually said something else, but we'll talk about it during then. You know,
I ain't oh gonna... yeah, I'm sure we'll get to that.
So there's a foreign object that's brought out during this match, which George Steele brings out, and he's the face.
Yeah,
it's poker chips. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
It's whatever
it's
it was.
Shame.
It was flat.
It's shame.
It's shame.
Shiny shame.
Shiny shame.
But it was like some flat piece of whatever taped up. And he just starts, like, hitting him with it. And, well, more like tapping him on the fucking chest with it.
Tapped him in the chest with it. Another tap in
you
the chest.
You do a good
chest.
Rosenbloom there, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, I studied him.
With the object tap.
Oh.
So it's just basically these old farts, you know, tapping each other with this thing. And Sherry...
With a Chutes and Ladders toy.
With the Chutes and Ladders toy. Some sort of mousetrap puzzle piece or something. I don't know. Unfortunately, no big cage came over this match and just ended it anyway.
It looks like George Steele did die during the match, actually. We're watching some of it now, and Greg Valentine's legs just look old.
Is this in slow motion, or is this the match actually happening?
This is the replay of what you just mentioned.
Oh. This is fast forward.
Like the old, this is the part we're actually watching right now is probably like the best spot of it, and that's where Steele throws Sherry out of the ring. Like that's the only thing that actually looked legitimate during this match.
Yeah,
the fact that casino magic.
Well, the fact that somebody kept this on video and converted it is still astounding to me.
I had it on video and I gave it to Eddie. He's got my VHS copy of this.
Oh, I do.
Is it better than this?
It's exactly the same.
Oh, we have, all right.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah. You know, and to Rosenbloom's credit. They bring him in the last minute. He probably had to read a binder of shit,
yeah,
or like a clipboard of what. If the fan's too much for you, I'll kill it. Let me know. But
coming straight from the Olympics
about this sport,
right? So let's go to the back now.
Julio Fantastico,
right? Backstage promos with Julio Fantastico. You guys know him better as Julio De Niro from ECW.
Yeah,
and he's here saying that he's going to win every match that he's ever going to have.
Basically, he kind of looks like Matt Hardy.
And he does. And Eddie made a reference to Chili Willy before. He was in the Chili Willy era of ECW.
Yes, he was. He was one of those guys.
Not bad. I wasn't a huge hater of his. I thought he did okay in ECW.
No, he was decent. He was a decent worker. This match, however, not so decent.
No, not so decent. He fights Too Cold Scorpio.
Who comes out with a replica WCW title belt, I believe.
Before
right?
Iron Sheik was doing it.
Before Iron Sheik was doing
Unless
it.
Unless he stole Iron Sheik's.
And this match on the pay-per-view actually confused me, too, because I didn't understand why it was happening. Why were they
Because
there
was it? A new guy who you didn't know who the fuck he was going against Too Cold Scorpio, who was, you know, we wouldn't call him legend status at this point.
He was in limbo status.
Yeah.
Scorpio you know? Was, yeah. Well, Scorpio always had a Japan
hookup.
Yeah, so he was Noah. Always going back and forth. And he won a ton of stuff over there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, at this point, he's not in ECW. The Flash Funk thing is not in anymore.
No, that's done.
I don't know. I think, like, around this time or maybe not too long after, he was GHC tag champ with Vader.
With Vader,
oh,
yeah.
That's
and Noah,
right.
yeah.
Yep. And he's got the fucking extension.
And there's a picture of him wearing a Funk U shirt.
Yeah, a Funk U shirt.
Was he back in WWE soon after this in 1999 for Job Squad?
The Job Squad, yeah. That was his swan song. Yeah, he was part of the...
Yeah, he was TCS Scorpio.
He was
TCS Funk.
Yeah, he was. It was him, Al Snow.
Well, I don't remember him.
Blue Meanie, I think, was in the Job Squad. Stevie TCS. Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he came out, with the dreads. He looked like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. This is, or Niles Rogers.
Yeah.
Again, Phil showing his age.
Or one of Milli Vanilli.
One of Milli Vanilli.
Or any black entertainer.
Yeah.
Any black man ever that had dreads. Let's say he looks like Bob Marley, too. Fine. He's Jimi Hendrix.
I'm going to go on record and say this is the only bad Too Cold Scorpio match I've ever seen.
You know you're right.
Because Scorpio can fucking work his ass off.
Wait a second. You didn't see him go against Marty Jannetty at the PWS show in Queens.
Oh, I didn't see.
Did not see that.
Yeah. Oh, no. I missed that show.
You did not see
I'm talking about old Too Cold Scorpio as he kisses the big hick in the ringside. Somebody's mama.
Was that
Delta
Valentine?
Burke?
That was Delta.
Delta Burke.
The cast of Designing Women in the front row.
Yes. That's the gay guy. It's Anthony. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going? Kiss me.
Fake belt.
That should be a name for a women's tag team, Designing Women.
Or like a stable of women.
Yeah, a bunch of rich bitches.
Definitely.
That'd be a fresh reality show, too.
From the South.
If TNA did it and Dixie Carter was the head of it.
Dude.
The head of Designing Women.
Dude, that's genius. Get her and... What's a face? A hardcore country? Get hard.
Yeah,
Designing Women.
Yes.
Wow.
And what's his face could be the gay guy, but he's not white. I mean, he's not black. What the hell's his name? The Spud guy.
Rockstar Spud.
He could be like Darren Anthony.
You actually remember that guy's name?
Yeah. It's a good show. It was a good show.
Yeah,
wasn't he the black guy on Matlock too?
No, he was from Mannequin. Remember that movie Mannequin?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And then they fired Delta Burke. She got fat.
She got fat and they fired her.
And then they brought her back.
Captain Lou Albano at ringside now for this match.
Oh, because he's Bumbling the mess. He announces himself. He's talking without the headset on too.
Well, he's also 75 years old at this point. So
he's the official commissioner. For the show.
All of a sudden.
He declares himself during this the commentary.
He wasn't even booked to be there. They just found him at a slot machine. They're like, oh yeah, you were in wrestling once.
What are you doing here? What are you doing in Mississippi?
Rubber band.
It's like whenever old wrestlers get together, like stray ones like Captain Lou just show up.
Basically. He still shows up, just as, decomposing body.
It's like all those homeless people in Prince of Darkness. They just all show up at the house. Anyway,
it's a congregation. Yeah, so this match happened. It was kind of sloppy, actually, from what I remember.
One thing just popped up right now. Rosenbloom actually called something right.
What was it? The tumbleweed?
Not the tumbleweed, but I think it was like Julio De Niro was doing it or something. But he's like, they call this skinning the cat, and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
Because he flipped over the ropes and he held on.
Yeah. He actually,
and I was like, whoa, how does he know that?
Dutch Mantel probably whispered in his ear.
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, they didn't have guys in the back yelling in their ear going, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like McFoley on SmackDown.
Oh, God.
So the former.
Here it is. Now, there was this botch.
There he is. He's getting the cat.
And that was a botch. Like, Julio goes to do a somersault plancha on Scorpio.
The former Too Cold Scorpio.
And he does a little jig.
He fucks it up, and then he repeats it and just does a regular plancha.
And they just kind of lay on the floor and be ashamed of themselves.
So this match happened. And, at the end of it, Scorpio, if you want to fast forward, we can watch as it happens. He does his top rope tumbleweed, which is like that inverted front flip leg drop. Totally misses.
And lands on his face.
He misses everything. Like, I think he misses Julio completely, actually. He just whiffs him.
Is this it right here? No.
No, it's...
This is them just being confused.
They're just, who goes in the ring?
They missed a spot, yeah.
Yeah, they missed quite a few spots.
Yeah, again, this
there was something in the water,
this,
I think.
I messaged Eddie yesterday. I'm like, this was just hard. I watched it again at work. I'm like, this is just hard to watch.
He watched it again.
Yeah, no, because, I have the responsibility to the fans. I mean, they want us to us call fucking matches at least.
Yeah, we do this for you.
Yeah.
We go through this kind of pain and torture for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad.
Because we love you.
I think it's coming soon.
I think it's coming soon, too.
Yeah,
he puts him up. Here it comes.
I'm pretty sure he lands on his face because he's holding onto his jaw immediately after it happens.
Scorpio's probably thinking, I hope I don't lose my weave.
The former Too Cold Scorpio ascends the top rope, or the second rope.
You sure are funky.
Oh, it's not happening yet.
No.
Oh, God, I can't believe we're still watching this match.
just let it happen.
Ugh.
It's like a rape. Just let it happen.
Don't say a word.
It hurts less if you don't resist.
Yeah.
Relax those muscles.
Young boyish muscles.
Oh, God. In this match.
And look at that hairline of his.
Still happening.
Uh-oh.
He's got like a...
Oh, he just won.
He just won. He bows to the crowd.
And he's got like a... He's got like a Shanae kind of hair from Martin.
Yeah.
He has... Scorpio kind of has like a Shanae face, too.
He does.
Yeah. And there's the other guy from the Midnight
Express. That's Randy Rose.
Randy Rose. Okay, they're showing the replays now. They're going to show this botched tumbleweed in a few seconds.
A big tumbledick weed.
If you're playing along at home, just go on YouTube and...
You played along at home. Turbo Throwback's home version.
Yeah. Go on YouTube and look this up and
And
you'll see exactly what we're talking about. This isn't
and
it yet.
Try not to kill yourself afterwards.
There's that.
Oh, there it is. Oh.
No, that hit.
No, that hit, yeah.
That hit.
But the tumbleweed didn't hit.
This does not hit, no. This is a whiff-a-rooney. Whiffity, whiffity, whip, whiff.
Wow, didn't even touch him.
I think he hurt his sideburn.
Yeah, he caught something because he's holding on to his face.
But whatever it was, it looked awful.
Because otherwise, guys don't usually, sell anything.
No,
so
yeah.
Bundy cuts into the promo calling Yokozuna Porkazuna.
coming from Bundy.
Bundy still looks like Bundy at this point.
Yeah.
If you saw him at Legends of the Ring, you'd be sad.
Oh, he looks sick.
He looks, dude, I was so sad when he walked in and Matt goes, "Is that Bundy?" I'm like, oh, man. I was so sad.
Yeah.
Because I loved Bundy as a heel, man. He was fantastic. The Walking Condominium. Him and Stud were the first live Garden show I ever saw.
Yeah, and Bundy looked good until recently, too.
Yeah.
What happened with him?
The last couple years, AIDS.
AIDS?
No, fat people problems. He's probably got diabetes.
Fat people problems.
He has diabetes. Yeah, all that stuff. He's probably got, heart disease and shit like that, you know.
Yeah. And he's probably pushing 60.
He's got to be
Maybe even
over 60 years old, yeah.
And he's doing stand-up comedy.
Part of the original Legion of Doom, I might add.
Yes.
Yep.
Not a lot of
with Jake Roberts and...
Jake Roberts, Masked Superstar, The Road Warriors.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Wow. And here we are, the negative...
Voted the worst, one of the worst matches ever.
Of all time.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was terrible. Bushwhackers fight the Sheik and Volkov. Now,
the former Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers.
The Luke and Butch or the men from Down Under, even though... Is New Zealand considered Down Under?
I don't know, but
they keep referring to them as the Bushwhackers.
We talked about the Bushwhackers.
The former Bushwhackers.
A couple of shows ago, and...
Sheik can barely walk.
And I was like, yeah, dude, it's...
Then...
And I don't know who the fuck this guy is either. He brought some other guy with him.
His name is Nikita Presnikov.
Yes, I have that too.
I don't know who that is, but
I wrote
he was in the area. And
I wrote, this match was the drizzling shits. If those Bushwhackers would try to lick my face, I'd snuff them and be escorted from the arena.
You know, there was a time where it was completely fine for a Bushwhacker to come up to your child and lick its face.
That was okay for some reason.
You know, being a teenager and seeing them... That transition.
He wanted some of that.
No, was almost as bad as seeing
Duggan.
Yeah.
Oh, Duggan?
Yeah, Duggan and Dusty, bro.
Oh,
that
God.
And I told Dave that almost ruined me. Yeah. As a teenager, as a 15 years old, my wrestling magazines were shriveling up. I was just reading all this stuff. I'm like, this can't be the same guys that were in Mid-South and fucking NWA.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love them.
The Bushwhackers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were also six.
They were great then.
You were six. You wanted your face licked.
The thing is, in an interview I read, one of them, I think Butch, said that they made so much more money doing so much less work and not getting hurt anymore.
Why not?
Yeah. Taking noogies from the crowd.
Yeah. They didn't care if they won or lost.
Now, the Sheik is going to do a feat of strength. And
oh, the fucking club gimmick.
Now, the club gimmick.
This is not the original club gimmick.
No, because the original club gimmick had the Iranian clubs.
Yeah, and these are just
are fucking posts they took from the casino floor.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Look.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, there's no weight on them.
Right. So...
I'll say this, you know, to do it in that kind of motion, like, okay, you know, it's going to be a little bit hard, but there's no weight on it.
There is no weight on that at all. We have the national anthem sung by Nikolai, or like a shortened version, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know they had a bridged version of the Soviet national anthem.
Yeah.
Well, they had to get on with it, because...
I guess. It's only
Heroes of Wrestling.
It's only a two-hour show.
Where the wrestlers that you haven't seen in recent years are here.
They're back. For your viewing pleasure, this match was awful. Awful.
You know, this had another great Rosenboom, Bloom
Oh, another great quote?
Yeah, he called, I think it was like a backbreaker. He called it the soft slam.
The soft slam.
Yeah, that's with a soft slam. In the
if you watch
of
the
soft
opening,
ring.
If you watch the opening to this, Nikolai does the softest, gayest kick. Watch.
Oh, the leg kick.
Oh God, the leg. Yeah, watch and he this. Whiffs a lot of those kicks too. They're like 10 inches from the
fucking
guy's head.
Terrible. Where is it? Where is
onto
it?
The former bushwhacker.
Is that dude, look, he licks his people's faces, man. Get out of here. Lick
hey,
my face.
It was great. Everybody loved being licked.
Yeah, because you were six and you wanted to get licked. Yeah. I wanted to give them
a
nickname. I wanted to get licked by my sister's babysitter, all right? I was fucking 15.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to give them a noogie. I didn't want to get licked. That was something else.
Yeah, so hepatitis waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, that match is next. So.
Oh God.
And yeah. the guy that what's his name? The Russian guy that came to the ring with them?
Smirnoff.
Nikita Presnikov.
He looked like the dude when Rocky landed in Russia.
Oh.
He goes.
He had the escort.
This is what you want? Buzhalosta. We go now.
We go now.
We go now. This is what you asked for, no?
Yes.
Here, watch. Look at that. Look at those knees. It was terrible.
And he's selling it like he's getting killed.
And he's adjusting the bumper so it doesn't.
Yeah, they
doesn't
always
fall off.
Yeah, they have to adjust that bumper every time.
Do you want to watch this match?
Not at all.
Oh, okay, no.
Bushwhackers. They win. Butch,
yeah, at 8
Butch
minutes and 42 seconds, yeah.
Because, Volkov literally taps. Like, you know, no joke, not the arm punch tap.
Yeah.
He taps him with a foreign object, and then Butch pins Sheiky Baby for the win.
Tully Blanchard. Now, here's the thing. Two of my heroes, I'm not even joking.
Oh, sweet.
I idolized the Midnight Express, idolized the Four Horsemen. Well, Mikey took my Four Horsemen, but I had the Midnight Express, but they still have the Horsemen in here. But I thought, reading this, I'm like, this could have been a match that saved the card.
It could have stole the show.
Because both guys could work.
They weren't that old yet.
No.
You know? They were like Ric Flair now old.
Well, Tully was in ECW, like...
Tully was in ECW
five
in 94.
Years. Yeah,
94.
So five. Yeah. 5 years.
And Stan Lane was just doing commentary previously in WWF.
Well, according to this, he was doing commentary with ESPN.
At this point, yeah. He was out of the game for a little while.
So he cuts this fucking horseman-ish promo.
It was just an old man rambling. Like
and
he,
now,
Sweet Stan Lane, which is said like 50 million times by Rosenbloom.
He looks like a fitness guru. and he stole his ring jacket from one of the fucking... dancers in the casino.
He looks like Flash Gordon.
With the giant
from the
shoulders.
Movie Flash Gordon?
Yes.
Gordon's alive. Ming the Merciless.
And he's in decent shape. I mean, he's kind of like... He kind of looks like Chris Candido would if he was still alive now.
It's like really old man buff.
Yeah, it's kind of...
There's Tully Blanchard with a WWF tag title.
Unbelievable. This is just fucking terrible.
So this match also happened.
with fireworks.
Yeah, they actually had fireworks.
Tully got fireworks.
I'm surprised he wasn't, like, shocked and confused where he was.
Tully with the old school robe, throwing the four up.
As if anyone there knew who the Four Horsemen were.
There's
two people right there that know.
Well, this was the big Midnight Express versus Horsemen feud. Did that even
They actually beat them for the belts.
That did happen.
That set the war. They actually were the Midnight Express had both belts at that point, and the Road Warriors were a heel.
You know... Stan Lane looks like Ken Anderson does now.
Yeah, that's a good.
He looks just like Ken Anderson does now.
Yeah,
like,
and you would think
not caring out of shape look.
And again, you would think that this match would have saved the card.
No,
yeah, one would think.
All it proved was for Randy Rosenbloom to say "Sweet Stan Lane"
over and over again.
Every chance that he had to say "Sweet Stan Lane," he said "Sweet Stan Lane."
Yeah,
and they kept putting He kept putting they kept putting the cameras like on like women in the crowd like here, and she's just looking around and she's bored. And Dutch Mantel is like, I wonder what she's looking at. And then
she's waiting for her husband to come back because he has the bucket of coins for the fucking slot machine.
But no, she was looking at Sweet Stan Lane.
Yeah, they did that throughout the whole pay per view. They would cut to the audience, just weird.
Yeah,
like weird.
Yeah, this chick's like, yeah, whatever.
She's thinking about Sweet Stan Lane.
No, she's thinking about going back to the casino because they have the free drinks on the floor.
And thinking about Sweet Stan Lane.
Stan with the karate.
Stan
again.
Lane, a background in martial arts.
Sweet Stan Lane.
Took a cartwheel bump.
Learned his karate from Fred Sanford.
You big dummy.
You big dummy. I'm coming home. Yeah. So
this is just basically Tully Blanchard getting his ass kicked, and he comes back. There's an okay comeback, but you know, there's nothing about this match.
No, it's just like I guess something you'd see on like Superstars.
Yeah, or Slamboree.
No.
Slamboree.
She's licking her lips thinking about sweet.
She's like, I want that.
She's like, where's my fucking husband with where's my nachos?
Where's my chicken tenders?
Jesus Christ. I thought we got fucking free nachos here in this casino.
She's like, Dad got it, Barry. Can you believe that?
That's sweet Stan Lane.
That's sweet Stan Lane.
Look
at her. She's damp. Her husband's got the NASCAR hat on.
She's damp.
He's sweeter than a cupcake. Oh.
Remember that time?
Oh, God, the women they keep showing. Watch this match, if you will, at home, just for the women.
Oh, is that Sweet Stan Lincoln?
That is not Sweet Stan. That's Shining Wizards. Hello?
Happy 50th, you fucker.
It's our 50th anniversary. Yeah.
Yay. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I was a little disappointed. I went on Ustream, and I saw nobody was there.
Is it going through?
No audio whatsoever, dude.
Yeah, I downloaded this new fucking program, this producer program, and it's not. And I tried to do the line in through it. I'm still learning this crap, whatever it is.
So much for technology.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I love technology.
Yeah. So what's up there, Nitz?
Nothing much, man. I'm sending out resumes. I'm moving in and shaking, trying to get out of the fucking shit that I'm in right now. So I figured, well, I'm done getting aggravated for the night. I might as well have a smile on my face and try to listen to Mr. Megapowers spout off about Mr. Norringonger, but alas, I couldn't hear it.
You missed it.
You know, I'm not complaining about anything, so you're not going to hear any complaints.
And we're watching Heroes of Wrestling and not complaining about anything.
No.
Just think about that.
We're talking about leg kicks and soft slams. And
Sweet Stan Lane.
Yeah.
Tony, have you ever seen the Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view?
Have I who?
The Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view they had back in 99.
Have I ever seen it? I own a copy of it, and it's one of the fucking greatest things I own in my life.
Well, it's one of the worst cards I've ever seen in my life. And we're,
Phil,
and this...
let me ask you a question, Phil. Do you got 20? What do I got? You got 21, I got 22.
That's right.
I cheat.
You got blackjack, I got that too.
I got that too.
Yo, there's actually one thing that we didn't talk about.
We're not up to that match yet. We're up to Tully Blanchard and Stan Lane.
We forgot about the ring announcer.
What the ring? Oh, the ring announcer guy?
The ring announcer.
Who cursed?
CRISPR Stanford.
CRISPR Stanford, yeah.
He had the best intro, which was...
Oh, God, yeah.
Throw down your toys. And get out of the sandbox, because playtime's over. Because someone's going to get their ass whooped tonight.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
We were just, Tony, right before you called in, we were shitting on the crowd. Because every time Stan Lane did a spot, the camera pans over to the crowd at the women. And they're all just confused looking for food and fucking and money for their nachos and their casino money.
Dude, you can honestly write like a 5-book like complete like Star Wars like story about the entire pay per view.
Yeah,
I tell you, we should bring Eddie back 4 more times like a fucking Star Wars trilogy.
This could be our next 50th anniversary. Can be this.
What was that, Tony?
They need a documentary just on this pay per view. I would pay fucking $50 to watch it.
That's not a bad idea. Get the promoter on.
You know what we should do is I'll relive this only if we do a Shining Wizards theater to it.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
I will relive this, but we all have to be in attendance. This has to be like a network thing or just a couple of shows getting together. This has to be like a network thing for a theater.
I don't know if you guys ever knew my fantasy, but when the Pontiac Silverdome went up for sale and it only sold for $300,000, I was like, you know what? We should buy that. And someone said, why? I said, wouldn't you love to reenact WrestleMania 3?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Could reenact Heroes of Wrestling there.
I can go as Adrian Adonis.
You know, we could actually reenact Heroes of Wrestling because there's only one guy that's dead.
That's true. We could bring everyone back except for Yokozuna.
Yokozuna.
I could be Bundy. Yeah.
I want to shave abs on my stomach, so I want to be Jim Neidhart.
All right, that's cool.
And that works.
No, but we could get the real guys to be in it.
Yeah, they don't cost much these days.
Yeah.
When did Bundy squash the midgets? Was that 3 or 4?
3.
So that maybe three, so maybe yeah. It'd been, maybe the Midnight Jury could hook us up with
Ed Gale.
With Ed Gale.
I had a conversation with Ed Gale today, actually.
He got mad at me yesterday because Ed was like said something like wrestling's fake, and of course you can't tell a wrestling fan wrestling's fake. So I wrote, "This is coming from somebody who's an actor telling me wrestling's fake."
Yeah, let me tell you guys something. I need to stay away from Facebook because there's so many people getting butthurt on that fucking thing lately. It's like a baby mama drama kind of shit.
Yeah, Kid Cash.
Yeah, Kid Cash.
Kid Cash.
That was the worst.
Dude, I read that after I was listening to the show today, and I was telling Eddie I listened to it, and then I went back and read it on Twitter. I was like, you know what, this guy. And I never liked him anyway. Never liked him anyway. I mean, some of his stuff was okay. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I just, he was in the Chili Willy era of fucking ECW.
The Chili Willy era.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, we all love Chili Willy, don't we?
I love Chili Willy. He's great.
Nah.
He had a cool dance.
He's black.
Too.
You're supposed to hate him.
Hey.
Oh, I need that bell. Maybe. I gotta get that bell.
Wow. Yeah, you do.
Maybe in your world, Tony, I don't hate black people. I love
Wait,
them.
So you mean.
You know,
this?
They got a lot of great uses. So.
Yes, that bell. That bell. I live 175 feet from a Staples. I have to go get a bell. I'm not even joking. So.
Well, I don't want to take you guys away from your show. I just wanted to call and say
thank you for doing that.
Congratulations on the 50th. May you have 550th more, whatever that
so.
Means.
I hope so.
PWS Sign Girls in the studio.
Peace out.
Good luck with that.
I don't know. They brought us a gift card for food, so.
That's awesome.
Oh. It can't hurt to have them here.
Yeah, you know what though? Honestly, they reached out. I give them a hand if they needed something. I told the girls if they needed like
a hand for a Hummer.
That old.
From what I understand, they want to give Kevin a hand.
Ooh,
I bet they do.
And I hear Kevin's receptive to it.
Wow, Kevin, that's a whole lot of fucking fun for Kevin, man.
He'd love it. Every
honestly, if Kevin goes through that at one night for the whole trifecta,
he'll be a man.
Not only that, my friend, but he would have fucking 17 acts to follow. He would have a fucking whole series of stand up after that.
Oh God, yeah, that's true. That's material.
I want Kevin with the Sign Girls 2-on-1 while he's got the Wizard and a Nelson.
Ooh,
no.
Kev, if you're listening, buddy.
That's all you.
That's all you, champion.
While Mick Foley does stand up behind him. It's all coming together.
It's gonna be a great 2014 for the network. I can already see it.
Oh, of course.
Well, you already put quite an image in our head right
now.
Yeah,
we got the image. We got fucking Lopez with his wind tunnel tested podcast. That was awesome. And that's
well, driving the car.
Yeah, man, it's
not like the fucking good stuff. Drive-through microphone.
It's awesome.
I love Donald.
It's like Wayne's World too.
Taco I.
Poor Lopez.
I listened to the whole thing.
I did, of course I did, because Dan's really informative. Besides putting himself over 17 times, he fucking
The guy's trying to be a heel, but
he's fantastic. He did a fantastic job.
I don't know about that.
He's catching X-Pac heat.
Ooh. Yeah, is he really?
That's like, I would say Norengonger has X-Pac heat.
Oh, here we go with fucking Norengonger again.
He's my buddy.
Lopez is, he's slowly, crawling out of his shame.
This is why we can't have nice things, Tony. This is why we cannot have nice things.
Ring the bell.
What?
He's got bell. Tony's not. Tony
is he even
argue?
Paying attention?
Tony's not going to argue.
Tony.
I like Mike Norengonger.
Yeah, me too.
I like him too, but some things that he does.
There's always a but with you, man.
It makes me question him, and that drinking of his. Come on,
he likes his martinis.
He did the Christmas show with me and gave me 2.5 hours worth of fucking gold, dude. I love that episode with him. We had a great time.
That was good. That was a good time.
That was a good one.
I enjoyed that.
Definitely a good one.
We even had our conspiracies around 9/11, if you remember.
Yeah, I was not happy with that. Yeah. As a first responder who was there for 14 and a half hours, I was like, you guys are fucking retarded. So.
Listen, it was nothing against you guys. We understand it was a tragedy, and we understand that it's one of the saddest events, if not the saddest, in the history of this country. But maybe somebody was better off.
Listen,
I don't know.
Listen,
I'm just saying.
My wife has a fucking plethora of those conspiracy theories, and I tell her to just go fuck her hand with it.
Does she listen to Coast to Coast?
No, she doesn't. Thank God. But you know what though? Here's the thing, and I'll keep it brief. I don't want to because we have to finish this this show. But I think the government knew this was going to happen. I just don't think they knew when, and that's as far as I go with it.
And that's when George Bush was reading that book upside down to those children.
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I think we had the intelligence, and I mean intelligence. I mean operative, not fucking real intelligence, but.
Yeah.
I mean, operative. They knew something like this was going to happen. They just didn't know when.
Right.
And I'll keep it as that. We could do a whole show on that, man. We could do a whole fucking podcast on it.
We already got enough conspiracies going on. Yeah, Jimmy Snuka killing.
Snuka's killing his girlfriend. We got the Bruiser Brody killing coming up in a couple of weeks. We got a lot of fucking conspiracies.
Bruiser Brody?
What's that?
You're doing the Bruiser Brody murder?
We're getting the guy who wrote the Brody book on the show. So once I'm done reading the book, which should be in about another 48 hours. I just got the book from Dave tonight. So once I finish the book...
When you do that, you also have to get follow-up on the Manny Fernandez Invader 3, like, you know, shoot work, whatever, you know, receipt that was supposed to be, if that was legit or not.
You know what? That's a good idea because we spoke about this at the opening of the show, and I was telling the boys, I said, you know what? I said there were like fucking 17 different people there, and they all have different stories. Like I remember Dutch was on Cabana's show. He was talking about it. I heard Ric Flair in a shoot. He was there. He talked about it. There were so many guys that were there, Manny Fernandez, and they all had different takes of what happened.
Well, Tony Atlas was there too, but you couldn't see around the toes that were stomping him on the face.
It's like the movie Clue, like the end of the movie Clue.
Yeah.
It's like all these scenarios.
And I wait for Eileen Brennan to come out with a fucking... with a candle holder and smack somebody with it, you know?
Mr. Botti.
He was in the study with her and a big knife. But anyway, I digress.
Well, I'm going to let you guys run, man. I don't want to hijack or Shanghai or commandeer the show anymore.
Or Jap our show or Pearl Harbor our show.
Jap.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate the love, man. Always.
No problem, bro. No problem. 50 strong. Keep it going, guys. You guys are doing awesome. And Eddie, miss you. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, honey.
Eddie brought Skittles.
Hey, Eddie, I sent you a text. Did you reply to me? Please do so. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Oh, God.
Good night.
I might be.
Good night, Tony.
He sent me a text. I look at my phone. There's 11.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Is it bad?
Oh, no. He just wants to know what number I want on the back of a new shirt.
Awesome.
How about the number 23?
That's my number, actually, for the Wizard shirts.
How about the number 73?
73 works for me.
Yeah.
Bam. 73. Why not?
Tell him I want 23.
How about the number A?
The number Heroes of Wrestling. So the match ended with a belly-to-back suplex where both men's shoulders were down. Tully gets his shoulder up at the count of three.
And nobody cared.
Corny-ass ending. Like they were going to fucking further the feud at Heroes of Wrestling 2.
So now we go to the backstage again.
And Anvil says that he has no problem with Jake the Snake, so then why the fuck are they having this match?
Yeah, because he was probably legit scared of him at the time because he was drunk as shit back there. Like, they knew, I'm sure, the state that Jake Roberts was in at this point in the show. They must have known. Anvil looked good, though.
Yeah, Anvil did look good. Now, the one-man gang, by the way.
Does not look good.
Did not look good. He brought the old jacket out, though, which is pretty fresh to death. The ring announcer's like, holy shit.
And it doesn't fit him anymore.
No. Yeah.
The one-man gang has a skull on his coat.
Yeah. Gang comes out with a bunch of chains, and he cuts this terrible promo. And he's like...
Bad camera work.
Bad camera work. It is Mississippi. And actually, he's got duct tape, not like electrical tape, on his fingers, which is terrible. And some cut gloves that he got from the fucking vendor down the block,
beat up from the fucking hobo.
He probably
in
beat
the
some
front
fucking
the
hobo by the waterfront.
I'm sure he did.
Those are some nice gloves.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
He's already bleeding and the match hasn't started.
This is no bullshit. When the gang first got called up to WWF, I was in Nassau Coliseum. I was third row. And you guys know I hated Hulk Hogan. I mean, I respect what he's done. He's a phenomenal talent for the business.
You're going to be doing a show
on We're doing a huge Hulkamania show next week. It's going to be fantastic.
30 years, right?
30 years.
It's going to be 30 hours long.
Next week is the 30th yes. anniversary of Hogan winning the title, man.
And my birth.
On end.
And me. And me.
And Mega Powers. Yeah. So, but when the gang came in.
Oh, God.
When the gang came in to fight Hogan, dude, that was big news. Who the fuck is this guy walking in with that blue
butcher? His real keeper. John Cheatham.
Who is John? Who are these people?
He's like this guy that's been managing.
They probably work at the fucking casino.
Actually, Honest John is like the only like manager that's actually legitimately with Abdullah the Butcher.
Who still looks like Abdullah the Butcher, by the way. He's the only guy on this card besides George Steele that looks the same.
And he wears his pants as high as Shawn Michaels.
Love it.
And he still has his boobs hanging over his
belt. There's nothing bad about. I'm sorry. Outside of this match, there's nothing bad about Abdullah the Butcher. I remember being a kid, being in Florida visiting family on winter break, and I had gotten to see Abby and Carlito Colon. They would broadcast the WWC shit down there, and I wasn't even looking for it. I was just going through the channels, and I had saw them.
Stabbing each other.
Yep, and I had the Coleco figures, too.
Those were the best.
I wish I still had those, man.
I have some of those.
The AWA ring is going for like $300 online. I want that ring so bad, man.
The figures, too, are extremely expensive.
I had the High Flyers, the Fabulous Ones. I had Baron Von Raschke came with Rick Martel.
Yeah. Yep. I have all those guys every single
You still figure. Have them?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to show me those pictures, man.
I found a lot on eBay, and someone was selling the whole collection for $25.
Jesus Christ. You get the Ric Flair one?
Got Ric Flair.
Oh.
It was a Ric Flair came with Zbyszko.
There's a Martel.
Martel came with Baron Von Raschke. Mine did anyway. Yeah.
There's a Stan Hansen.
There was two different versions of Dr. Death Steve Williams.
There was a fake Steve Regal.
Yeah.
The AWA Steve Regal.
Mr. Excitement Steve Regal?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Steve Regal.
Wow, you still sound excited.
Yeah. Dude, that's part of my childhood, man.
Yeah, they had the Road Warriors.
I had the Road Warriors.
They had everybody. Ric Flair.
They had like that funny looking cage.
That cage was so cool. Ugh. So these guys, they fought. This was a fucking train wreck.
This was just two guys stabbing each other and choking each other with a chain.
And Abby just not even trying to hide the fact that he's cutting his own head.
Yeah.
They zoomed in on it. He's just swiping away.
Well.
They had a double count out.
Did you see Abdullah the Butcher at Wrestle Kingdom a few years ago with Terry Funk?
No, I didn't. Which Wrestle Kingdom was it?
I want to say it was 6.
Is it online?
Probably.
Oh, I gotta see that.
First of all, the name of the match, like everybody was talking about it because it had like the most fucked up name. It was like the Legends Never Rot.
Whoa, that's funny.
And Abdullah's. Ugh. This is probably like the last Abdullah match that I've seen, and. He's in such bad shape that he literally just stands on the apron the entire match.
Wow.
I think he comes in. No. I don't think he even gets inside of the ring. Like, he fights on the outside, but he does not get inside the ring. Stands.
Nothing.
At the corner. That's it.
He's got a chicken and rib spot in Georgia. I want to check that out.
Apparently, it's like in the most like ghettoest area.
I can give a fuck about that.
We'll go.
I'll definitely do that. There's something I need to do.
That's a bucket list thing. That Ribera Steakhouse.
Dude, don't even get me started. I'm getting a Ribera shirt in another month. I saw it. I'm going to order it online because I can't get a jacket.
You got to go there. We got to go there.
Dude,
I've been there.
I know.
I ain't got to go nowhere. I've been there.
I told my wife, man. I said, she's like, what would be your dream vacation? It's definitely not Hawaii. It's fucking 8 hours fucking north of
that. More than that. Oh yeah,
it's eight hours north of that. Hawaii. It's fucking go to across the Pacific. I definitely want to go to Japan.
Yeah,
and I'll say on record that was the best steak I ever had in my life.
See, it's not just all bullshit.
So now Dave, you've been to the steakhouse. You can't get a jacket unless you're a wrestler. Is that the whole bag? Or
I purposely didn't get the jacket because I wanted to go back. Give myself some unfinished business.
There you go.
Some unfinished business, baby.
If you will. Some Heroes of Wrestling 2 type shit.
Right. Yeah. So these guys.
I wanted to go there and say I was part of Heroes of Wrestling.
Dude. So Abby's all busted up. They fight double count out. This is just a fucking garbage match.
Of course. There's no winners in this match. There's no winners in this event.
There's no winners at all.
Except
us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We win.
Next match is kind of surprising. And we talked about this on the car ride over.
Yeah. I'd say match of the night.
This was the match
okay,
of the night.
Okay,
match of the night.
So Snuka, the killer.
He's just standing there motionless.
Yeah.
The fucking cold-blooded killer, Jimmy Snuka. the former Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
By the way, shout out to the Mega Powers podcast. They sent us a tweet this morning that they loved the show, the last show, and hashtag Snuka did it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that there's a podcast solely dedicated to me. So.
Yeah, solely dedicated to you. Those guys are awesome. You. Shout out to them in the bloke show, and I'll plug them in a little while. But
Snuka's eyes are just saying kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that cold-blooded killer.
What was that?
Murder.
Was that Friday 13? Kill.
Snuka. He's just thinking about going to some sort of like motel and forcing some woman to squat on the side of the road and bash her in the head with a rock.
Dude, at Legends of the Ring, he was like the first one to come in. He walked right over to our table and shook our hand.
Yeah.
Really?
We shook that killer's hand.
I was like, Dave, we just shook Jimmy Snuka's hand. Like, we were like fucking like two kids at an NSYNC concert.
Yeah.
This hand killed a woman.
Chop, 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 chop.
Fucking jumping off the dresser with a Superfly splash. Taking the Bible from the drawer and just bashing her over and over again.
Terrible.
Oh, Bob Wharton.
Bob Wharton's a fucking.
He looks like, you know what he looks like? A dummy from a ventriloquist.
He looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, he does look like a Muppet.
With that fucking hair of his. Jesus.
If Ralph was human, he'd be fucking.
Yes. Or like Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie, waka waka.
Waka waka. I got hepatitis too. Waka waka waka.
And there's another great Rosenbloom quote.
Oh, what's the quote for this one?
He starts it off by saying, you know, this feud has been going on since 84. And then, like, literally a few seconds later, he says, we've been looking forward to this fight since the card fight, the dispute at the card table.
Oh, God. Yeah, so he's like,
are you fucking kidding
me? Back in 84. And then he's like, yeah, because of the cheating at the card table.
Yeah, right? We've been looking forward to this since, like, a half hour ago when we, you know, filmed these guys trying to cheat at cards.
Ridiculous. The match itself, though, was not bad.
No, they actually, like, wrestled. Like, whoa, suplex.
Yeah, a delayed suplex, too.
Delayed suplex. He was actually able to hold his old ass body up in the air.
He looks like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Bob Orton kind of looks like Willy Wonka a little
like,
bit.
Like, what, like Gene Wilder with tits?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, I could dig that.
Yeah, definitely. And Snuka doesn't look...
He looks like a melted chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
Snuka's not at his worst yet, but no. He was on his way at this point. This was
the
decline.
He was able to move during
this. He's just like Paul Mahoney, like a fucking melted candle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Snuka could still move in 1999. It was like only a couple years later. I think after his match with Jarrett on Nitro is when he started to really
My buddy Jay wrestled him a few years before this, like in 97... Or 98, when Jay was wrestling for Johnny Rods in his school.
Uh-oh.
In Gleason's.
Oh, boy.
And he said Snuka was a chain smoker.
Oh, yeah?
Snuka would go outside, have like a fucking half a pack and come in.
Dude, whenever I had to go back to my car during Legends of the Ring, Snuka would be outside smoking.
Yeah.
And he would be in the same corner. And then
was
I would
he by
leave.
Himself?
He was by himself. And then like I would go back in for like a couple hours. And then like, oh, I need to get some from my car. And he'd be out there and still in the same corner smoking. So...
Okay, brother.
Was this ashtray a coconut?
No. It was some girl's skull.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So,
you know what's fucked up? You can get his ensemble at Target now.
Yeah, you can.
They sell everything fucking leopard skinned.
Go ahead,
Eddie. I'm sorry.
Woman
underwear. I was gonna say the highlight of this match for me, and I think also for Mega Powers, was the Bob is a faggot chant.
Yeah.
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 And he didn't know what to do. Like he was like
he
legitimately
was just
perplexed. Like, yeah, he was like, "Whoa, the fans actually are getting one on me."
It's like maybe it's my Brady perm.
I'm glad Al Bowne never changed his gear though.
Yeah. So this match happened too. It wasn't bad. Snuka, I think he won with a crossbody. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the Superfly splash from the top onto a standing Bob Orton, former Bob Orton Jr.
Former Bob Orton Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Oh, he's okay, trying to get a superplex.
First superplex I ever saw. It was his and Barry Windham's.
Yeah.
My favorite superplex when I was younger was Hogan Bossman off the cage.
Yeah.
I was there in the Madison Square Garden.
That was my favorite. I was, and they laid in the ring for like 10 minutes.
Dave,
dead.
Actually, one of those videotapes have it.
That was the
best.
That was the best. I was there. It was a Saturday afternoon matinee show. I was there.
How great was that moment,
dude? And Bubba was cut.
Oh yeah,
he got cut.
Big Bubba.
He was cut hard way.
Yep.
But yeah, and they laid there. Like, I thought they were dead.
I got to ask, did it seem like the air was just sucked out of the
dude, I was just like.
It must have.
We had good seats, man. I was just, I couldn't believe, like, we talked about it, like, in school. Like, all the gym teachers were like, what happened? Because I would bring my program with the sheet listing, with the match listing, and I would check off who won and write down who lost. That's how kind of fucking geek I was. But the gym teachers would give me extra credit if I brought them the program.
Nice.
And to this day, my buddy Mr. Gold, who's still on, he still listens to the podcast. So shout out to Mr. Gold. He still listens. He's retired. He loved my wrestling programs. He loved them. I'd bring them to him. Did you go to a match on Saturday? I'm like, yeah. Who won? Here. All right, good extra credit. Yeah.
You know why he wanted those? Because that's where he told his wife he was going when he was sleeping with the other lady.
He was probably fucking banging Mrs. C, the dance teacher.
Yeah, he's like, here's the program. I was there. I can only get the program from being there.
Shout out to Mr. Gold, by the way.
Good old Mr. Gold.
Mr. Gold, Mr. G's. And now, here we go. Now.
Do you want to, can we play this? Is there any way to get the audio on?
We can.
You can put it on here.
Put it on here, yeah. Hold on computer. 1 second. You could do that.
For those of you that are familiar with Botchamania, this is the Jake Roberts interview when he goes, you want to play 21? I got 22. So, bombed. And it's weird seeing him like this and then looking at him now, how much of a different person he is.
Oh, God, it's like a new man.
It is like a new man. You see him on Raw. He looked better than he did, I think, in his 96 run. He looked fantastic on Raw.
He almost looks like he did back in the 80s.
Very close, actually. Yeah, like seriously, his face like just got younger. He holds himself upright, you know, stands straight. Yeah. He just looks fantastic, but you look at him in 1999.
And he also, he's allowed to have a snake now, I guess.
Yeah, I think for a while he wasn't allowed because of animal cruelty, right?
Yeah, because he wasn't feeding them and... Yeah. Doing all sorts of shit, like what's going to happen in a few minutes.
Like what he does tonight.
All right, so we're going to play this infamous promo.
Here we go.
All right.
To close out, Cowboy Bob Orton.
Randy Rosenfuck.
Bob's a faggot.
Still to go, we have Jake the Snake Roberts and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And, of course, the big one, the former Yokozuna and King Kong Bundy. And speaking of Jake the Snake Roberts, he's with our man, Michael St. John.
Ladies and gentlemen, back here I have a man of legendary proportions, the man Jake the Snake Roberts.
How fucked up he is.
He is a man that you all recognize. He's a legend. Come on, Jake, get out of here. The fucks want to hear from you.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. You know, you're a casino. Everybody says, well, gosh, a casino, you should gamble. Let me tell you something, Hamble. You don't want to play cards with me because I'll cheat. Okay? I cheat. You want to play 21? I got 22. You want to play blackjack?
You just smell his breath.
Two of those, too. You want to play ace and an ace? Maybe I got too many of those, too. Paralyze me. Do not gamble with me. Only thing you should gamble is this. Listen to me. When you walk in a casino and you want to gamble, the main thing is you should realize this. To gamble, you must accept losing. I don't accept losing. And here is Damien. Damien, my friend Damien is right here.
Wow.
You see Damien?
Yeah, he just stuck his head out.
Now you're a pile of snake, huh?
Oh.
You don't want to see this, do you?
Well,
let me show you something. I tell you what, Anvil. Go ahead, Anvil. Roll the dice. Mr. Cameraman, get your ass back up here. Hello? I'm talking to you. Get the camera back up here.
Oh my God.
Not much you need to worry about, Anvil.
Oh.
The bottom line is this. When the DDT comes, then the snake comes out. Worry about the DDT. 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 DDT.
Wait, the best quote's coming from the announcer.
It's like two people chanting DDT.
A man of his word, Jake the Snake Roberts. Back to ringside.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next match of the evening will be a single competition. First off, coming to the ring.
So, now.
DDT.
Yeah.
Is this what God's doing to you? Fucker.
If you're going to gamble.
Oh. You gotta accept losing.
You got Blackjack, I got two of them.
All right, so Roberts does a promo with a drunken stupor, right? Walks to the ring with the snake. He walks to the ring with the snake, and he was going to use that night for the match. However, once he got to the ring, he puts the snake down, walks back up the ramp. Roberts then walks back down, staggers around the ring to greet the fans, then grabbed the female fan and had her rub her hands across his chest. Right? Can I?
Well, I'm surprised nobody caught that. Like, he came down to the ring. It was very just kind of like,
yeah.
And then he runs back,
right?
And he's gone
back again. Yeah.
But he came back. But he was more like he was ready to go.
Like he pulled.
I don't think it was just alcohol.
No. He was fucked, dude. He was fucked up.
Oh yeah.
He pulled a snake out of his bag. Right.
Oh.
This is so good.
It's classic.
He sticks it. He sticks the snake in between his legs in a suggestive manner. And he begins to stroke it.
Yeah, in front of women and children in the front row.
And then collapses in the middle of the ring with the snake draped over his body and tries to kiss it with his tongue. What's that, Dave?
I wonder what sweet Stan Lane was thinking about all that.
He was returning his ring jacket to the fucking to the club girl.
Yeah.
In an effort to salvage the match with Roberts in his condition, the promoters announced on the fly that the match had been changed from a singles bout to a tag match, sent out Bundy and Yoko to team with Neidhart and Roberts, respectively. Right? The match was terrible.
Nothing really even happened.
No, Bundy pins Roberts, hitting with a big splash after Roberts had staggered and fallen around the ring seven times. The pay-per-view was immediately cut off.
Like early.
Following the match, Roberts attempted to disrobe in the middle of the ring.
Wow.
Oh, it's a fitting end.
End to a terrible pay-per-view.
And the former Jake Roberts, because he's not like that anymore. So
he's not.
He's the former Jake Roberts.
See, we can laugh at it now.
We can laugh at it now because he's clean. And if you know anybody who's got demons,
show them this.
Yeah. I wish, my dad was bad with demons. And this was 2 years after he got sick. He hated wrestling now. Oh. The only thing we didn't have in common was he didn't like pick on me. He'd be like, he'd be calling me, what are you doing? I'm getting ready for the pay-per-view tonight. You still watch that stuff? Yeah, Dad, I still. But he wouldn't tell me it's fake. He wouldn't tell me, you know, that kind of shit. But, yeah, if you know anybody with demons, show them this.
I think we all do, too.
Yeah, show them that. Or anybody who you think is going down that road,
show them that.
Yeah.
Show them that.
It's a good learning tool, if anything.
Yeah, you know what?
It's sad. You know, it's funny as fuck, but it's sad.
And we can all imagine, you know, Mike Norndonger, Gonger, is on this route, and we need to save him.
We should have a live intervention.
We need to.
Don't encourage him, Dave.
We need to have like a prayer, like a network wide prayer for Mike Norndonger to get better. What do you say, guys?
Wow.
Dave's cheap heat is sponsored by Audio Boo.
I've known Noren Gonger for a good 10 years now. And
now you guys had a band.
Wow, that long.
Weren't you guys in a band or something together or something?
No, we weren't in a band. He had his
the wrestling promotion.
Little wrestling promotion that we
the skate ramp and the trampoline and the.
Well, there's no trampoline. They made a ring.
And the garden hose.
They had Titantrons and all kinds of shit.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. You can pull up our match on YouTube.
I'm going to.
I saw a little.
That's
piece
gonna be
of
another
that
fucking
match.
Podcast.
Yeah, review that next.
We were, but we had to take care of this first.
And I'm glad we did.
Yeah, I'm glad we did too. I'm glad Eddie pulled this out for us. I'm glad you came through. We appreciate you coming through tonight.
Absolutely.
This is for wrestling fans. We'll post this on the Facebook page, but for hardcore wrestling fans, this is something to laugh about. It's something to look at. For me, as an old school fan, to see some of these guys in the ring was like, this is great. It's like Slamboree, but like with no lights. You know?
No production.
But then it was like, oh, wait a minute. No, that's not good. I totally forgot about this fucking thing until Eddie pulled it up. I'm like, I remembered. And then I remembered the Alvarez thing. I'm like, oh, man, this is bad news.
I remember looking forward to this so much and ordering it and just being so excited to see it. I was like, wow, all these guys I haven't seen in so long.
All and the then, stars from years ago that we haven't seen. We haven't seen them in years. They're all here tonight.
Where have they been? I don't know for sure. But holy shit. You know what, though? Thank God Gordon Sully didn't make it, because this would have been the last show he called.
I was going to say that with Tony before we cut him off.
Oh, my God.
I was going to tell Tony that. I'm like, you know what? If he would have showed up to that and that would have happened, I don't think he ever would have did another fucking thing ever again.
Well, this was one man's last show.
Yes, it was.
The former Yokozuna.
The former Yokozuna.
Literally, physically, in every sense of the word.
All right, one second.
Because he died after this event, right?
That's hysterical.
Soon after, yeah. He was at his worst, I think.
Yeah, right? The dude was like, he looked like he was over 600 pounds.
Yeah, he was in bad shape. He shouldn't have been wrestling.
No, he you know, we had Tama earlier in there with the Samoan SWAT team. The guy had like, I don't know how, it seemed like he had like several asses inside of one ass at the same time. And it seemed like the former Yokozuna's ass, my bad, it seemed like his former ass
was a kindergarten class.
It was the size of Tama, and Tama was fucking huge.
Yeah, it was
this.
Rough. It was really, really rough to watch. Really bad. And it's funny because like months before this, WWF at the time basically tried to save his life. They said, we'll rehire you, but you have to lose 150 pounds.
But
and
didn't
they sent him somewhere, like a fat farm, basically.
But yeah. he wasn't complying.
He wasn't complying.
And I was telling Dave on our last podcast, that Samoan lineage runs deep with Vince.
It does.
Like he gives guys, like, look at Umaga, man.
Yeah.
Like, look at the fuck.
What a push he got.
Dude, like, tremendous.
Yeah.
And they even told him, listen, we'll send you away, we'll get you help, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I don't want it. And that was it.
That was it.
But that dude could have been world champion.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of heel push he was getting.
And he was awesome.
He was awesome.
I don't know about that,
man. He was good, man.
I think
he was good.
All the Samoan guys have always been solid.
Yeah, I like the Usos, man. I do. I love I have the Samoans up there. They're tucked behind the Road Warriors now, but they're with Albano.
Yeah, the Usos. They're getting a nice push.
I liked all the Samoans, man. All of them.
Yeah, I don't think has there ever been like a shitty Samoan.
No, like, I don't think so.
Was there ever one that was like the fucking black sheep of the Samoan family?
There had to be one.
There's got to be one. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Samu. He didn't really.
Nah, all those guys were solid, man. I don't. Again, I don't see any bad Samoans.
Samu
bad
is Samoans. Lance Anai's
I'll find a bad
father.
Samoan.
We should do like a Samoan family tree.
Oh, my God.
We talked about it.
We talked about doing
that,
right?
A little bit.
Right,
yeah.
We didn't go that far into it.
We'll find a bad Samoan somewhere in
there's
there.
There's got to be one bad Samoan.
Yeah,
we'll find it.
I haven't seen one yet, but there's got to be. What about Prince Iaukea? Was he a Samoan?
No.
He wasn't with them, though.
Whatever he wasn't with them, no. I'm sure. You know what?
Where was Prince Iaukea from?
Fucking, I don't know. They built him in the power plant at WCW.
Yeah. He's there with Firebreaker Chip. And
Chip. He was supposed to be their Rock. Remember, Prince Iaukea was like their answer to Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
Just, you know, one blew up one.
Then they tried doing it with Juventud.
Oh yeah,
making him the new Rock, and how far that went.
You remember Hoovy's debut when he tripped over the stairs on pay per view?
I remember that.
Oh, that was the best.
I remember that.
That was the best.
I can't wait for this network. All these fucking pay per views, man.
I know.
I can't wait.
You think they're gonna butcher them?
Yeah. And that was Mike Norenganga's beef too.
I'm a little worried about.
He's like, oh, the music. I'm like, you know what, dude? Honestly, a lot of my tapes got ruined. I had all those tapes.
Yeah.
But just to see them again in high def and some of the other shit, like, In some capacity.
Yeah.
They only met because the music was copyrighted, big deal. And now that WWE owns half that shit, it's not going to be as edited as you think.
That's true. Plus, they don't have to blur the old logo anymore.
No.
Wait a second. Didn't they also announce that, like, a lot of stuff would be, like, unedited or unclipped or something
Yeah, a lot of the old Raws, a lot of it's going to be uncut. They might just have to take some music out, you know, like Uncle Cracker.
Yeah. Oh, I hope they show, like, the old Shotgun Saturday Nights.
Isn't that supposed to be Phil's theme song?
Uncle Cracker.
Shotgun Saturday Night when fucking Ahmed Johnson does the rough.
Pearl River Plunge on the car.
On the car, and he slips.
Yes.
In the rain.
Oh, God, fucking. They both could have died.
Is that why he needed a chest protector?
Yeah, that and the fact that him and Kofi Kingston should go back to school and fucking. Ugh. Well, he's like 700 pounds now, Ahmed Johnson. But
he looks awful.
But yeah, those guys.
Kofi. Either. Kofi with the clean win over the world champion.
Yeah, and you know, I've been saying the same
SOS.
Thing you said last night. The guy is like, I don't dislike him, though. You dislike him. I don't dislike him. I dislike the fact that he has so much fucking potential that they can do something with him, but yet he's a fucking terrible spot monkey.
Terrible spot monkey.
You know?
He's the fucking just, get it right. He rushes so much, it just looks so sloppy.
You have a moveset. Follow it.
Yeah.
Every indie guy follows a moveset.
Yeah, follow that moveset.
Just follow it. It's not that hard.
Speaking of moveset, that fucking neckbreaker Cena broke out was just surprisingly sweet.
You know what, dude? People shit on him.
I'm not shitting on him.
I'm sorry, man. I can't. There's nothing. I find outside of his exposure, outside of seeing him too much.
Yeah.
And I told Dave this too. I don't have a problem with John Cena at all. Matter of fact, I loved his heel shit. His Thuganomics stuff with the throwback jerseys and the chain gang, I dug all of it. I was a big fan. When he came out in the Garden in WrestleMania 20, I was on a ramp at ringside.
I was up top.
I was in the ring. I was on the ramp, and he came out with the fucking throwback Knicks jersey on with the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Gold. That was just gold for me. I'm sorry. But I find nothing wrong with guys like that, you know. But he's one guy that's safe, sticks to his moveset.
Yeah, very
guys
safe.
Like fucking Sin Cara and Del Rio, stick to your moveset.
Ugh. Now, what's the deal with Sin Cara? Now, Hunico is Sin Cara.
He's better now.
Yeah.
Way better than regular.
But what happened with the original guy? What's he up to?
He's hurt.
His contract expired, I think, too. I think it's up.
Because now, not only is somebody else Sin Cara, but there's somebody else who's Mystico.
Oh, so he's like probably going to fucking off himself.
Yeah. They've had a replacement Mystico for a while now, and he's actually going to be wrestling in New Japan pretty soon.
As what?
As Mystico.
As Mystico? Oh, as Mystico?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the guy who portrayed, Sin Cara and Mystico is nothing now.
He's like Brutus Beefcake territory, gimmick-wise.
I guess so, unless he comes
How
up with
sad
a...
sad is that? That you're brought in with such potential, but you're not given the right kind of training. I think they skipped developmental with him.
No, they brought him right in.
They brought him right in.
Because he was a big sign. Speaking of everywhere.
Speaking of Mexico, I hear that AAA got a TV deal. Are they getting a TV deal or something?
Yeah, they got one.
Now, are they going to have English announcers or no?
Oh, that's a good question.
Wait, a TV deal in America?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on MTV?
I hope so. I love AAA.
Yeah, I'd love
There's nothing.
That shit.
I love all that shit, man.
And I think Jeff Jarrett is working on an organization for...
With Toby Keith. I heard about that.
Toby Keith.
Oh, that's going to be so shit.
Jim Ross is getting his own podcast, I heard.
Who?
Yeah.
Jim Ross.
Oh.
And... Bell's palsy guy. And then on top of that, he's going to be doing some stuff for Fox Sports. But I'm going to assume that's all going to be off of college because he's a big...
He's a big college guy.
He called an Oklahoma Thunder game not too long ago. In basketball.
Oh, really?
He was color commentary, so he's going to be doing some stuff for Fox Sports. So,
you think he'll actually open up on his podcast or still keep his shit real cryptic and safe?
I don't know, but when you listen to Jericho's and Austin's.
Yeah. They let it fly.
And Podcast One is going to be hosting all these celebrity fucking podcasts now.
Yeah.
Which we'll be on there soon.
Mm.
We'll definitely be on there soon. I can feel it. We're going to be on there because...
I can touch it.
That's right.
With my tongue.
Kill. No.
Women.
Yeah.
Snuggle.
But he would definitely be on there opening up with some stuff. He has to.
Yeah.
He has to. And people are like, oh, well, and of course he comes to the internet wrestling community again. Oh, well, he's going to talk stupid shit and have all these guys on. Listen, because his Rolodex are friends of his, he's not going to just pick some indie schmuck that we pick because they're not our friends. They're just relevant at the time. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of them are our friends. You know, these guys are our friends because PWS, I'm pointing at the screen like they know what I'm talking about, but the PWS guys are friends of the network. They're friends with you guys. Eddie does work with them. And it's like, but other than that, like, we're not friends with AJ Styles or Gunner or but Jim Ross is friends with these guys.
Yeah.
So he brings them on and it's cool. Like when Austin interviewed when Austin and Jericho interviewed each other for the podcast.
That was cool.
It's awesome.
Or Edge and Jericho.
Yeah, because they're friends.
Yeah.
You know, they're friends.
And they could get more out of each other.
Right.
The shit, like
that's
the
best
it's
part
just
of
like
it.
You could be yourself.
And there's no pressure. Nobody's under contract.
No pretense.
Nope. You could do if you want to shoot on something. Of course, they're PC because they always have to have that window open with WWE. They're not going to poo-poo on all the bad stuff.
They did poo-poo on Cena, though.
They did.
Which was surprising.
Well, because you know what, though? It's a different era. And I think they were in a way different era than Cena's era. Cena's been around for a decade already.
I know.
And that just goes to show how long it's been since Edge made his debut and Austin made his debut and Jericho back in 99.
Wow. Cena's run on top is longer than Hogan's.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah,
it is crazy. But it's a different time.
It is a different time.
It's a different time.
As, what's his face? Batista put it, it is now like a B era.
Right.
Of wrestling.
Right.
The era.
He's right. He's right.
He is right. He, what, he said, what did he call Antonio? Antonio Cesaro. No, not Antonio.
No.
ADR.
ADR.
He said he's a C-level wrestler in a B-level era.
In a B-level era. Right.
That's a shoot.
That is a shoot.
And you know what? It's absolutely true.
When did he say that?
In a
couple days ago.
Tweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking heavy, though. That's like a dig and a half.
And this is a dude that's going to be in a main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he just buried the whole locker room in like one shot.
Because he can.
What? He doesn't give a fuck. Because he's Batista. He's like, all right, I don't need this. I'm just doing
because
this.
He's the animal.
Because he's the animal. That's right.
Yeah.
I enjoyed his work before he left when he was jobbing to Cena.
Yeah.
And I liked his DVD. I have it. I bought it.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad.
That's
the one guy Triple H made. That's the one guy he put over clean and never had anything with again. Like, that was it.
What about Ric Flair?
Ric Flair's made everybody.
Yeah, man.
Everybody.
Hey, he put over Ric Flair clean. That was a big deal, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, even with the politics back then, top guys always found a way to put certain guys over that weren't supposed to be there. Like, Ric Flair put Ricky Morton in a main event spot at one point.
Oh, that's right. In
you
a
know?
Cage.
Yeah. Ric Flair put fucking Road Warrior Hawk and Scott Steiner in main event status. You know, like, and this is not just bad booking. This is just you knowing guys have talent and you throwing them a bone.
And I think that's what Cena's doing now with Sandow.
I believe so.
Same thing.
You know, Sandow is my breakout guy for this year. I picked Ziggles for last year, but I didn't think they were going to, you know, bury Ziggles like they did. But I think Sandow was going to have a huge impact this year. For some reason, I think he's going to be big.
It's going to be a big year for him. I think it's going to be a big year for the Roman Reigns.
Oh. Yeah, Roman Reigns is on his way. The guy from The Shield.
Yes.
Another Samoan.
Another Samoan.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All over.
And he's cousins with the Usos. It goes on and on.
It does.
He's got the look. He's got the size. He can actually work.
Now he just got to get that talking thing down.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
He doesn't have to scream his promos.
Is he the leader of the Shield?
No. Well,
there's dissension.
There's dissension.
Oh. You know, they're playing it off. And Bray Wyatt breakout huge this year.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt, huge.
But he screwed. Well, you know, last thing I saw was SummerSlam. And that was god-awful. What has happened since then to make him break out?
Promos. Anything? I think a lot of it's just the promos he's been doing.
And none of the matches.
His matches have been solid. He's been doing that spider walk.
Yeah.
Across the ring fully. I mean, like, he's getting better and better.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yep. All right, so before we, as Tony would say, pull the train into the station.
Ice train.
Do you see, do you see.
Fire and ice.
Before we go, before we plug everything, do you see with the unification of the belts now.
Yeah.
Do you see them doing another draft this coming spring?
You know what? I was thinking about that. I don't think it's going to happen. If anything, they're going to go in the opposite direction and unify the U.S. and IC belts.
They're supposed to be doing that.
Yeah. I don't see a draft happening because if the belts are unified, there's going to be no really reason, right, to compete for one belt on two different shows?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But I kind of, at first, I was against the draft, but then I was like, this is good because SmackDown had a different writing team, and that gave guys that weren't, you know, had underexposure, it gave them a chance to shine.
Yeah, I like to see them bring back some more gimmick shit like King of the Ring.
I loved King of
the Wrestling
Classic.
I would like them to see them bring King of the Ring, but as its own pay-per-view again. With just the tournament.
Not
like the finals at King of the Ring.
Right.
Like
the tournament.
Yeah, the tournament.
I loved the King of the Ring.
I know it's a pain in the ass for these guys to wrestle a million times in one night, but
they can do it.
They can do it. You know, give them a few days off or something like that. I don't know.
And I'd like to see them get rid of the corny pay-per-views like Fight Back or whatever the fuck they name these pay-per-views and bring back
Retribution.
Like, bring back a Starcade.
Bring back Star War Cade. Games. Yeah. Bring back Starcade. Bring back something.
Bring back Battle Bowl.
Bash the Beach even.
Or the Lethal Lottery.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't understand if it's not Vince's idea, it didn't happen. But they brought back Great American Bash out of all pay-per-views to bring back.
That was so good,
man. They brought Great American Bash back.
But then they turned it into the Bash.
And then it was the Bash, and then it was the shits, and then it was gone.
Awful.
It was a SmackDown-only pay-per-view. Yeah. Bring back fucking Starcade. I miss Starcade.
Starcade.
I miss it. I just miss the name of it. It was just such a great name.
With the two R's.
About Fall Brawl.
Star RR.
Dusty Booking.
Fall Brawl was never that bad either.
Fall Brawl was not. Fall Brawl had the War Games.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I don't have enough time. I have
but
to go to
sleep. But they have the Elimination Chamber. I think that's kind of like their answer.
Well, they could change it.
Yeah, they can, but it's not.
They could make the new War Games.
The new
War
Games.
With like a new cage.
With the new Rockers and the new Heart Foundation.
And the new Blackjacks.
And the new Blackjacks.
New Blackjacks.
And the new LLD with draws.
All right.
Draws now.
So, Ed, you going to be at PWS?
Yes, Saturday, February 22nd. They got Bret Hart wrestling. They got Mickey James wrestling and all your favorites.
Wait, Bret Hart is wrestling?
Yeah, he's wrestling. He's wrestling with speech.
Okay.
He looks like a roadie for fucking...
No, Bret Hart, I believe, he's going to be the commissioner.
Yeah, the Drunken Swashbuckler, Angelina Love, Ox Baker.
Ox Baker. You got Colt Cabana versus Chris Hero.
That's going to steal the show.
You got Starman. You got the big deal Craig Steele. You got a lot of guys there. It's going to be... You know, PWS has their own cast of characters.
Yeah, it's fun.
Their own gimmicks, and I think it's fantastic what they're
doing. Is my buddy Dan Moff going to be there?
Absolutely.
Love Dan Moff.
He's going to do the mothball?
I remember Dan Moff from the old days, man, from... the SATs and all those guys.
Yeah,
that
squad.
Was the shit. I love those guys.
Yeah, Dan Moff's, I mean, like, lately he's been having, like, the match of the night on these shows.
Good for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's been kicking ass.
Good for him. Good for him.
We're going to have him in studio in a few weeks.
That's all. Are you really? Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Just a spoiler alert.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, of course. You can listen to Eddie every week, as always, on The Shining Wizards.
Yes, you can.
Courtesy of The Shining Wizards Network, SWN, theshiningwizardsnetwork.com. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boo, Buzzsprout, Rantom Radio, which will be on Rantom Radio next week on the 25th. We're doing a live show. It's the 30th anniversary of the birth of Hulkamania.
God damn.
It's going to be great.
30 years.
I can't believe it's been 30 fucking years since
Hulkamania. I can't believe it's 30 fucking years because I turned 30.
We're
going to
do a live show. We're going to do a live show. We're going to take some calls, go live on the Rant Network, join the chat room. And Dave's got a contest from the last podcast. If you guys...
I need to do a post on that so everybody's well aware. And that's to recreate, video-wise, your idea of how Snuka killed his girlfriend.
Oh, my. I'm so there.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody jumped on it, but hey, I'm going to make a post.
Yeah, so
I'll do it. I'll do it tonight.
Yeah. And also, I'm...
Do
it
with your real girlfriends.
And kill them.
And also, I'm putting this out there. I want Royal Rumble entries. I want your 30 best guys, past, present, and future. I want the participants. I want who wins and how they win.
Living or dead.
Put it on the Facebook page. You could tweet us or email us at turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com.
Pony Express us.
That's right.
Smoke Signals.
Smoke Signals. T-Buckle T-Backs is the Twitter handle. Big shout out to all the other shows on the network. Ed, we have the Apex Radio. We have... Wolfman Jack Foley, Neckbreaker. We have the Fallen Angels. We have Pro Wrestling 101 with Justin Credible. We have now Dan Lopez and Two and a Half Wrestlers.
Midnight Jury.
And the Midnight Jury. Mike and Adam and Sydney and all those cats over there.
Are we missing anybody?
No, I think we got them all, didn't I?
I think that's 9.
Right, and now 10 with Lopez.
I think that was a one-time.
That was a one-timer?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know. It just
Never know.
If Dan could sit in front of a computer instead of his car...
Let's hope he does it in front of a fan or...
Jesus Christ.
You ever talk in front of a fan, your voice is just like... I used to do that a lot.
Shout out to Don Tony and Kevin Castle, wrestling-news.com, Wrestling Soup, Mission Joey, and of course our new friends over at The Bloke Show and Mega Pals Radio. And I think that's it. I'm going to... what's that?
I hope Lopez does another podcast with the comb and the wax paper. I would love to hear that.
You got 21.
We should be playing my song again.
I got 22.
Play your song. My song, he says.
You got Blackjack. I got two of them, too.
Everybody loved that opening song.
That was a great song.
If you want to gamble, be ready to lose.
If you want to fuck in an 80s helicopter, play that song in the beginning. All right. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, on behalf of our boy over here, Shining Wizards, Eddie, I, of course, as always, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. And, of course, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap. Yeah. And have a great rest of your week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.
Vaya con Dios.